comes to us from the Acts of the Apostles, Acts 1, verses 1 through 5, the promise of the Holy Spirit. In the first book, Theophilus 1 wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by convincing proofs, appearing to them over the course of 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So, as Kim Oakley mentioned, we have decided to launch the church into a sermon series on the book of Acts. Acts is a long book, so we might truck through the whole way to Christmas, so don't miss the fun. We think it would be a fun adventure for the church because Acts is about the starting of the early church, but also about the acts of Jesus Christ. And so there are great things for all of us to learn. And I'd love to learn more about what's in the book anyway. So sounds like fun. So we're going to keep going. Acts chapter 1, here we are today. I'm going to start after Paul left off in verse 6. So when they had come together, that's the disciples, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, Jesus, "It is not for you to know the times or the periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, they were watching. As they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up towards heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them, aka angels. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way," right back down, "as you saw him go into heaven." This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Almighty God, we pray that we might have eyes to see and ears to hear your will and your way for us this day. It's in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. Well, it's summer, and everybody loves a great summer sequel, like Guardians of the Galaxy 2, or Rocky 2, or Terminator 2, all which made their debut in summer. And so when the Arnold said in Terminator 1, "I'll be back," he was serious because he came back many years later, sometime around July 3rd. So yeah, it's a sequel. Acts is actually a sequel. So tradition normally attributes authorship of Acts to a guy named Luke. Luke wrote Acts. He also happened to have written another book in the New Testament that is just happened to be called Luke, right? Or the Gospel according to Luke. I know this is shocking for you. So he wrote Acts, but before that he wrote Luke, and they named it after him, the Gospel according to Luke. Acts is a sequel. So what does Luke write about in the Gospel? Jesus is born. The best birth story is in Luke's Gospel. Jesus' ministry, Jesus dies on the cross. Jesus rises from the grave. Jesus ascended to heaven. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. Then in Acts, Luke rewinds a little bit, right? So sometimes in a sequel, you kind of see what happened at the end of the last movie there. So, you know, he rewinds a little bit. We get the ascension again where Jesus is going up to heaven. And then, as I shared with you, the birth of the early church and how these people launched the church. And then they planted churches everywhere and all the cool things they did. So the cool part about sequels, especially movie sequels or book sequels, is will the second one be as good as the first one, or maybe better? And so that's what you all get to decide over the next few months. Is the sequel, Acts, going to be as good or maybe even better than the Gospel of Luke? What a great reason to come to church over the summer, right? Because you get to decide. And in fact, many scholars think that the book of Acts should actually be titled The Acts of Jesus Part 2. Because, right, the Acts of Jesus Part 1 is Luke. So you decide, is it equal? Is it better? But the Acts of Jesus Part 2, that's what we're calling our sermon series. So here we are. In order to understand what's going on in Acts 1, let's rewind. Last, we heard from Luke 24. So we're going to watch the end of the last movie, right, the last story, before we launch into the new one. What happens in Luke chapter 24, the last chapter in Luke's gospel? A whole lot. Jesus, his tomb is empty. They discover it. He appears to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. He then hangs out with all of the disciples and has fish, so he's a real person. He passes the peace with them, and he ascends into heaven, all in the last chapter of Luke. That's a lot. The ending of Luke, like what's the actual ending of Luke? How does it end? The ending of Luke feels to me like the last day of church camp or a mission trip or a spiritual retreat like the walk to Emmaus, if you've ever been. So everybody's fired up for Jesus. If you've ever been to church camp, mission trip, spiritual retreat, the last day, everyone's fired up for Jesus. And that's what happens in the final chapters here of Luke. So it would help if I would have marked the page correctly. Ah, okay, Luke 24, here we go. Final verses. Then Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he withdrew from heaven and was carried up into heaven. Like that. Okay. And they worshiped him. They worshiped him. And they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God. The disciples just had a Jesus experience. They hung out with Jesus. Jesus in their heart. They got a blessing. They were sent out and they are fired up. Just like the last day of church camp. They're like, yes, we are going out to save some souls for Jesus. We're going to be the change we want to see in the world. I love the last day of a mission trip or a church camp. Because did you hear that the disciples, they were filled with great joy and they were continually praising God in the temple. Teenagers, last day of mission trip, they're like, I'm going to go to church every Sunday for the rest of my life. I am so fired up for Jesus, right? Let's save some. That's what the disciples were like. They were ready to go. And so it is blowing my mind that Luke gives us this hour of power ending. And then you get to Acts and the beginning is lukewarm. And that's a pun. It's lukewarm. Right? What did Paul tell us? In the beginning, it's like, greetings to you, Theophilus. We don't know who he was. He just got his name in the Bible, which is good. And that's a traditional way to begin a New Testament writing. But then we rewind a little bit. And so here are the disciples fired up for Jesus. And Jesus is getting ready to ascend. But before he leaves, he says, wait. Stay in Jerusalem and wait. And I will send you something in a little while. Oh, that's a lukewarm beginning. Wait? Oh, we hate waiting, right? And we especially hate waiting when we're like the disciples. And we know that we are a part of Jesus' plan, that we are to be everyday saints. And then we don't know the plan. That is so hard and so difficult. And the disciples, that's exactly what they were experiencing. Jesus is like, stay here in Jerusalem, wait. I will send you something later. That's the Holy Spirit, by the way. Not a care package, just the Holy Spirit. Okay, so, and the disciples are like, no. We're not going to wait. We don't want to do this. So they get the rest of the youth group together, and they put a little pressure on Jesus. And so they show up, and they're like, Lord, is this the time that you will restore the kingdom to Israel? This is the dream, right? That like God's kingdom is in power and reigning again, right? So they're like, this will be good. So they all, and it's like a pep rally. Lord, is this the time that you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Let's go. It's a pep rally. It's like the kids in the car. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we? They say that because they are so excited to get in line at Disney World for the Everest ride, right? They're so excited to see grandma, okay? That's why kids say, are we there yet? Or they're excited. They want to go. They're ready to go. That's the disciples. Let's go. Is this the time? Is this the time? Jesus' answer, frustrating. Very frustrating. Jesus says, it is not for you to know the time or the periods that the Father has set by his own authority. It's not for you to know. It's not for you to know the time or the periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but, there's a holy but, those are always good. You will receive power, says Jesus. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses right here in your hometown, Jerusalem, then neighboring areas, Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And then, boom, in a blink of an eye, he's ascending into heaven, and the disciples are stuck grabbing their cell phones so they can they're videoing the whole thing, but they're like, details, I need to know more, don't go yet, right? Because they're left staring up into heaven until the angels basically say, why are you staring? Move on. He ain't here. Man, waiting. Why do we hate waiting so much? Maybe it's our microwave, Amazon Prime culture, right? Fast food, all text messages. Sure, we don't use the Pony Express anymore. It makes waiting hard. Maybe we hate waiting because we don't trust that Jesus is going to do what he says he's going to do. Nope, I don't think so. Because consider the company. I mean, I know you guys. You're faithful people. We trust that Jesus is going to say what Jesus promised to do. We trust that no matter what we're facing in life, God will work all things to the good. We trust in that. We trust in the promises of Jesus. Sure, our faith, our hope, it's like better on some days, less on others. But we trust. It's not a matter of trust. I think waiting is so hard, at least for me and maybe for you, is because we know that we are a part of God's plan. We understand we're the everyday saints of God at Round Rock, and we've been put on this earth to be a part of God's great salvation story. God has things for us to do. We just don't know what they are. I know that God has a plan for me and you. I also know that we would just like to know the plan, right? That's why it's so frustrating. We know we're a part of the plan, but we don't know the plan. Duh, that makes us crazy. Made the disciples crazy. It's almost like when we become a Christian, we all get a nice little day planner. Do you know what I'm talking about? Back in the day, we didn't keep our calendars on our phones. They were day planners. They're like calendars in a book. And it's like when you become a Christian, when you ask Jesus into your heart, whether it's like instantaneous Damascus Road experience like Paul, or maybe like a process. Some people become a Christian over a process. That's totally cool. But we get this day planner, and it's leather bound. It's the nicest day planner we've ever seen. Embossed on the front, gold letters, our name, and then underneath, son or daughter of the king, right? Son of the king, daughter of the king. Very nice day planner. So we become a Christian. Jesus is in our heart. We get this day planner from Jesus, and we're like flipping through because we can't wait to see, oh my gosh, what are all the cool things I'm going to do for Jesus in my life? What's my life going to look like? And it's blank. It's blank. And somewhere in June 2017, it says, it is not for you to know the times or the periods set aside by the authority of the Father. In Jesus' handwriting, right? And you're like, duh. And then, before we know it, Jesus, he's going up into heaven. Like a 1980s hairband rock star. He's ascending. And we're like, got the day planner and the pencil, and we're like, how about next week? Could you just let me know about next week? 6 months from now? Should we move or not? I just need to know. Is this the time? Jesus, is this the time? Is this the time? Is this the time? That's what the disciples asked Jesus. Is this the time that we will restore the kingdom? And that's really what we want to know. That's a prayer on our hearts so much. Is this the time? Is this the time that you want me to sign up for that ministry at the church? Is this the time that we're supposed to move as a family? Is this the time that I'm going to get that promotion? Is this the path that you want my family on? Is this the season my kid will finally wake up and start going to church again with their family? Is this the time? Is this the day? Is this the season? That question that the disciples ask, we know that question. We ask, is this the time almost every day of our life? Because we know we're a part of the plan, and we just want to know even just a glimmer of what that plan looks like, because we're trying to do the right thing. I wish, as your pastor, I could tell you, like, the easy answer to this problem. I wish I had an easy answer, because let me tell you, pastors with easy answers are super popular. I'm just going to say that. They just are, right? But I have no easy answers. I wish I could tell you that if you just prayed more and read your Bible more, that your uncertainty would be easier to deal with. You know, that's not a bad idea, praying more, more Bible reading, but I can't make any promises, right? I wish I could promise that an angelic visitor would visit you. I mean, it happens in the Bible. And this angelic visitor would let you know what your 9 months are going to look like, your next 9 months, or maybe that you should pick up the family and move to Egypt, but just temporarily, and then you can come back. But I can't promise a heavenly visitor. I can only point you to Jesus, because that's my job as a pastor. Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus in this moment? And Jesus is saying that God is a mystery, and the plans of God are a mystery, and the ways of God are a mystery, and it is not for us to know. And so if you are struggling this morning with your unknowing, know that you're not doing anything wrong, that you're faithful, but that this life of faith is an adventure into the great mystery of God. And there are times and places where we will not know the plans of God for our life, despite our desire to do the right thing. You know, I am so thankful that Acts begins in this manner. Acts begins with this lukewarm beginning, this mysterious start for the disciples, because part of the reason Kim and I chose Acts is it is a party. I mean, there is so much great stuff going on. They're starting the church. They're like persevering. They're being shipwrecked. They're getting stoned like by rocks. I mean, it's like terrible, right? I mean, there's all kind of stuff going on. It's amazing. And it's really helpful to know that at the beginning, they didn't know what was going on. At the beginning, they didn't know the plan. At the beginning, they didn't know how beautiful and amazing their life would be for Jesus Christ. They didn't know. But what does Jesus tell them? Jesus says, this life of faith, it's a mystery. You're not going to know all the plans, but stay near to the heart of God and wait. What does he tell them? Stay in Jerusalem. That's where the temple is. That's the center of their faith. That's where their relationship with God happens. Jesus is saying, just hang out near the heart of God for the next few days and wait. And then you will receive power, because I haven't forgotten about you and your family. No way. And you are going to be a part of my story right here where you live, and maybe even to the ends of the earth. Let us pray. God, we trust you. We do. There are days we wonder, but we're faithful. We trust in your promises. We know you're working all things to the good in our life. We are excited to be a part of your plan. We are excited to be a daughter or son of the King. And we would just really like to know what the next week, what the next month, what the next 6 months are going to look like in the life of our family. Lord, hear us in our desires to faithfully follow you, and speak to us, even in the midst of the mystery, about the things you have next for us. And if the path is unclear, keep us close to your heart. Help us wait in the uncertainty until you give us new power and a fresh blessing of the Holy Spirit and send us out again. It's in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand and join us in our final song.
The head. head that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. The Savior knelt to wash our feet. Now at His feet we bow. The one who wore our sin and shame, now robed in majesty, the radiance of perfect love, now shines for all to see. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. The fear that held us now gives way to Him who is our peace. His final breath upon the cross is now alive in me. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. By your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King.
Times of uncertainty are hard and frustrating, but they're really about the ways that the resurrecting King comes to resurrect all of us. I know it's hard, but stay near to the heart of God and wait. The Holy Spirit will find you again. And so go out and have courage.